Welcome to the Rent Estate Podcast, a conversation on how you can achieve retirement security, financial freedom, and the new American dream through rental property investments. And here's your host, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse.
Welcome to the Rent Estate Podcast, where we talk all things real estate investing and particularly single family rental property investment strategies. I'm your host, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse. Renters Warehouse is one of the nation's largest single family rental property managers, and we help our clients achieve financial freedom through real estate. Today's episode is part of our Corner to Corner series, where we are having conversations with our talented leaders from Renters Warehouse across the country and diving into specific characteristics about their particular market, what makes it unique, local market trends, and other investment tips. So today we have Nathan Green joining us. Nathan's our market leader for Arizona, and he's based in Phoenix. Nathan, thanks for coming on and joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Kevin.
Yeah, so before we jump into talking more about Phoenix and investment opportunities there, what makes the market great, and you know maybe pitfalls of Phoenix, why don't you tell us and the listeners here a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. So I entered the real estate field 2005, probably just like many other people. Market was ramping up. Everybody's, you know, the frenzy was going, and I jumped in right in there with everybody else. Went through my ups and downs with real estate. Been in and out of it ever since then. And you know, when I moved here to Phoenix back in 2018. Immediately jumped right back into it, got my license here. I've been licensed in three different states as well. And, you know, just really focusing on the single family stuff, you know, but my niche, I guess if you want to call it that, has always been working with investors, you know, so I've always aligned myself, you know, with the flippers and the wholesalers and the, you know, buy and hold investors. And so that's where I really kind of picked up my niche, you know, during my career. And so when I came across, you know, Renters Warehouse, just kind of fell into what I was already doing and working with investors and so forth. So, and I've been with you guys since going almost 4 years. You know, 4 years when I joined.
It has. Yeah. That's great. And you've been a great value add to the business. We appreciate you joining us and leading the way there in Phoenix and helping our team and helping our clients and our investors. You've been a great addition to the team. So thanks so much for joining. And where you moved to Phoenix in 2018, where were you living before then?
California. That's where my wife's from. And so we were living there before we moved out here. So,
all right. Yeah. And you said you're licensed in three states. So California, I'm assuming one of them, Arizona. What's the other one?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I cut my teeth in real estate was in Georgia.
Okay. So you're in Georgia before California and on Phoenix. All right. All across the country, you've got great experience. This should be a great episode of Corner to Corner. We can probably compare some things to other markets that that you've been working in and you know a little bit about, but sure. That's great. So, you know, today you are obviously living in Arizona. Based out of Phoenix, running our markets for us in both Phoenix and Tucson, Arizona, where we manage properties for investors there.
Right.
What makes, you know, Phoenix and Tucson, you know, we could cover both or one or the other, but what makes those markets a good place for real estate investors today?
So, like you said, we run both markets for sure, but they're two separate markets with a lot of different things going on separately. So it's not like just everything's happening here in Arizona, right? Sure. Phoenix, we're in a major growth spurt right now. Like I said, I moved here in 2018. Just kind of give you an idea, right? So, you know, coming from California where the traffic is crazy, I remember jumping on the highway at 5 o'clock in the evening, you know, here in Phoenix, you know, and it was wide open. And I was like, oh, wow, this is like night and day. It was amazing. Now, not so much. Definitely it's, you know, for the last 5 years or so, we've seen a very big uptick, you know, in the growth of the population. On average, about 200 people a day are moving here, you know, from different states. So, and California making up about 50% of that growth. But you know, what's bringing, you know, the people here is the well, kind of what we're being labeled as now is the Silicon Desert, right?
Okay.
So, you know, we have the Taiwanese microchip plant that's being built in the North Phoenix area. And so that's the largest plant that they have in the world, and that's being built right now. And that's like a 12-year project that's going on. You know, we have Intel, which is doing a $20 billion expansion for their campus out in Chandler, which is the East Valley there. So, you know, it's just, and then of course we have, a couple other microchip plants as well. And so really, you know, Phoenix is really kind of presenting itself, or positioning itself, I should say, as being this Silicon Desert, you know, which is not only bringing, opening up jobs for those companies, but all the support companies that go along with that are now opening up in different parts of the valley here.
That's incredible. I mean, that's incredible job growth and employment growth, and just population growth, 200 people a day.
Yeah.
I've heard it's a big number, but I hadn't looked at it at a day level. So that's huge. So what's that doing for, house prices? Obviously demand is up for places to live. I'm sure anyone who's listening to this probably listens to other, real estate podcasts and heard us talk before and knows Phoenix has seen tremendous housing price appreciation, especially through COVID. You know, what's happening now with house prices kind of post COVID? We've seen some markets decline in prices. Boise, Idaho comes to mind, but they saw something like almost 200% housing price appreciation through COVID. So they're coming down. Others have kind of stabilized. Some are still going up. But what's the home price appreciation look like, the last 6 months, year?
So year over year, again, the Valley, just kind of get, a little perspective. So the Valley is made up for about 20 different cities, right? So, we definitely have some micro pockets and so forth, but across the Valley on average, appreciation year over year has been about 6.5%. We've seen a major, growth ever, let's say pre-COVID going, even, and go ramping up, ever since that time, we definitely have been on an uptick, even today. And last year, a little bit of soft market, but it flattened out a little bit, but we're still seeing that growth overall across the Valley, and the markets there. Rents kind of the same thing. They flattened out a little bit last year, when the market softened. But overall, definitely we're still above pre-COVID, rents that,
Yeah, so 6% year over year house price appreciation, property values that's very strong for what's happening across the country. Great to see, good for investors who are looking for that appreciation in the long term. What happened in the past obviously doesn't tell us what's going to happen in the future, but based on that population growth, it seems like that should probably continue. Are there a lot of new build communities still being built in Phoenix? And, the story across the country, right, with interest rates being higher and some of the challenges in the home market is housing starts are down. Right. However, new builds are generally what seems to be selling right now because there's just not much inventory out there on the existing market because everyone's locked in at these low interest rates.
Right.
So what's happening in the new build world? I used to live in Phoenix 15 years ago, and it was kind of the beginning of the big boom, and there was every corner seemed like there was new developments going on. What's happened with the building to accommodate for all this new population moving in?
So it's definitely, just like other, other areas in the nation, definitely we're the building's happening. It's, there are a lot of communities that have kind of backed off a little bit or are taking their time, I guess, as far as, getting the inventory out there, whether that be due to, supplies, demand supply as far as materials go, or just their own, they're just kind of easing into it. We're seeing a lot of new builds and a lot of growth. I'm in the south part of the Phoenix metro area, Maricopa. So around Maricopa, Casa Grande area, even into Eloy and Coolidge, what would be considered more the South metro area. You have neighborhoods going up everywhere. Maricopa, for example, where I live, We're scheduled to double the population. You know, that's how many houses, you know, that on the market. So, you know, but we're seeing the infills is really what you're seeing. So places like Chandler, Mesa and so forth, you're seeing a lot of these infill communities coming into play, little smaller communities that are you know, maybe 20, 30 houses and so forth. And they're coming in there and doing a lot of infill builds. Buckeye, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is probably totally different 15 years ago, which is out in the West Valley. It's almost nonstop. I mean, you just have nothing but wide open land just going straight west to California. So they're just doing everything they can just to fill that in as quickly as possible and get that filled in. So to kind of answer your question, we are seeing, and I've had conversations with a lot of our investors who are opting to go for these new builds, you know, and adding them to their portfolio for many reasons, as we all know, you know, but you know, even with the prices, you know, they're getting good discounts from the builders as far as, you know, being able to buy down the interest rates and so forth. So they're getting better deals that way. Obviously there's a lot of incentives, and of course they come with warranties and things like that. So the investors that I've been speaking with are definitely opting to go with more so the new build route versus, you know, buying the old inventory.
Yeah. So that is, it's funny to hear you talk about Maricopa, you know, being part of the metro area of Phoenix. I remember, you know, when I was there 15 years ago, Maricopa was starting to become its own city. You know, there was a lot of nothing between Phoenix, you know, or Chandler, you know, some of those southwest suburbs in Maricopa. Sure. And I imagine today it's really not so much, especially if we're talking about including Maricopa as part of the Phoenix metro. It's just crazy to see the growth. And you're right, that Buckeye area, it's land as far as you can see. So I'm sure we can continue to meet the demand of people moving in to the city. But you bring up an interesting point around the new builds and more investors buying in these communities, buying a new build as a rent, as a rental. Mm-hmm. You know, this build for rent trend, it's not new, but it's certainly been picking up a lot of steam, right? Build for rent's been around for 15 years, probably longer, but you know, 15 years is a category. There were some innovative companies that got into it, starting to build whole rental communities and renting them out. And you know, there's a lot of question of, hey, is this a good idea? Is it going to work? And over the last 5 years, it's certainly picked up a lot of steam with the institutional investors, those larger investors that are buying whole communities or parts of communities. But I think we're seeing it more and more now with the retail investor and a lot of the investors that we serve as well. And a two-part question, I guess, you know, with the housing price appreciation being what it is and houses being more expensive in Phoenix than they were much more certainly than 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, are investors still able to find, you know, good returns on properties today on the existing home market? And then to talk a little bit about, I guess, the build for rent opportunities, you hinted that those are maybe a little bit of a better investment right now with the opportunity to buy down rates. You know, but what are you seeing? What are the challenges for investors today looking to buy in Phoenix?
So I don't know if there's really too many challenges. Like right now on average, you know, there's the, you know, the houses are sitting on the market about 50 days, since say 50, 60 days. They're averaging about two offers per house, you know, before it finally, you know, locks in. So there's a lot of room for growth, and I know a lot of people feel like maybe they missed the boat. I know back, the ramp up of 2021, if you will, a lot of investors were wanting to sell, right? They said that, you know, they missed the boat back in 08, you know, they kind of held the home and they kind of limped along. And so now that the prices are back up where, you know, where they can, you know, offload it, they wanted to just be done with it, right? And that's fine. You know, they held it for quite a few years and so forth. But a lot of investors were jumping in at the same time and buying those properties. I know I sold a lot of homes with tenants in place and so forth for those, same types of investors. And so, you know, right now it's, you know, with so much going on in Phoenix, you know, Phoenix is not going anywhere. You know, I know back in 08, right, we all know the sand states, you know, that just got hit the hardest, you know, when the crash happened. Phoenix has really, you know, looked at itself as a whole and really poised itself to be a more solidified metropolitan area that is spurring growth and so forth, as we just kind of discussed earlier. And so I feel like the appreciation, as we're seeing, is just going to continue to grow. And so for those long-term investors wanting to get in, you know, this is still a great time to get in. I know interest rates have kind of softened a little bit, you know, some talks and maybe even coming down even more over the summertime and so forth. I know Lennar, for example, Lennar, it was offering like 4.5-5% interest, you know, for some of their new builds, right? And so, you know, it just shows that there are some good, you know, you still get some good interest rates. You can get in on a pretty good price point, and just know that appreciation is what's going to carry you, you know, for those long-term investors.
With the house prices the way they are today, property prices and where rents are, which I know rents have gone up quite a bit in Phoenix as well. I own some property in Phoenix myself.
Sure.
And interest rates, right? Is there cash flow to be found for investors?
The cash flow is there. You know, it's not something that's you know, it's not something to write home about, right? You know, it's there. You know, you're gonna take care of your costs, your taxes, and all the good, you know, everything that comes along with it. And you're going to put some money in your pocket at the end of the day. But really, I think the major play here in Phoenix at this time is definitely going to be that long-term appreciation for the owner, you know, for the investors and so forth. But at the same time, you know, we have one of our bigger investors here. He's looking to purchase two more properties, and he specializes in new builds. So that's kind of his niche. He's down in the South Metro, kind of the areas I spoke about: Eloy, Maricopa, Casa Grande. He just focused on new builds, and he, you know, I had a conversation at the beginning of the year, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm looking to add two or three more new builds to his portfolio." So you know, but again, he's looking for the long term. You know, that cash flow is coming in; it's there. You know, but also he's looking at that appreciation. So when he's ready to retire and so forth, you know, he can cash in at that time. So yeah. I think we get the best of both worlds here.
Right. So if someone was going to invest in Phoenix, mm-hmm. And they've never invested in Phoenix before, but they're, you know, saying, "Hey, I kind of want to get out of the market I'm in today," or maybe they don't own a rental yet and they're trying to figure out the best market to be in. What areas of Phoenix would you point them to as a great place to start, right? That's going to be, that stable appreciation, you think, a growing community, other factors that, you know, are more seasoned investors look at, from school districts and job growth and rent growth and all that kind of stuff. Where would you point someone as the first place that they should be looking at to buy in the Phoenix metro area?
Sure. Now, that's a great question. If you don't mind, I'd like to take you on a little trip, right? Because there, like I said, we're so spread out, you know, and there's so many different things going on, and it seems like in all parts of the metro here. But just kind of starting with the north, you know, like I said, we have the largest, you know, semiconductor plant, you know, being built in the world, you know, right now it's a construction phase. But we're having, you know, there's about on average about 12,000 construction workers who are being brought in from all over the world in the United States to work on this project. They need homes.
Wow.
I've rented houses to some steel workers who are from Louisiana. And, you know, they shared with me that, you know, we're looking at about a 12-year project. So, you know, going in the north corridor there, you know, anywhere along that corridor I-17 and the Anthem area, North Phoenix. To purchase properties up there, you know, you're looking at long-term longevity with the construction workers, with the support staff, and then, of course, employees that's going to be coming that way over the years to come. Then, you know, if you kind of work your way, you know, clockwise to the east, again, we have Intel. They're doing a $20 billion expansion there. We have two other microchip plants in that area. And Chandler, Mesa area has always been a very strong cities for growth and so forth. So anywhere in those pockets definitely would be advisable. Prices are going to be a little bit more expensive in those areas just because it is, you know, it is more of a seasoned area, I guess, and so forth. But, you know, there's some great opportunities. There's some new build communities that's going on at there. Kind of working our way south, you know, where I live, Maricopa, it's the fastest growing city in the state. Casa Grande is our neighboring city. Down in that area, we have Lucid. They're finishing out their plant. That's a new electric vehicle plant that's being built down there. So they are operating, not 100% capacity, but they are operating. Also, a lot of the support operations or warehouses for the microchip plants are located in Casa Grande. So again, you have a steady flow of you know, warehouse and factory work that's going on down there. We also have a hydrogen fuel semi-truck plant, Nikola, I believe is the name. That's in Coolidge. So this whole area, so you're talking about these three or four different cities, they're all probably like maybe 10, 15, 20 miles apart from each other. And so, but they're all these, you know, all need to be fed, you know, with new employees and construction workers and things of that nature. And then, of course, when we work our way back up to the West, there's now, they just now recently broke ground on Desert Studios. So Hollywood is now moving to Phoenix. They're building this massive Hollywood studio facility out in Buckeye. And the reason being, because it's only 4 hours from LA, they have an airport out there. So we're going to see a major influx of a whole different industry that we've never seen before, you know, from the movie industry. And then again, you know, the growth is, you know, there's plenty to take, you know, take your pick out in Buckeye of what's going on there. So any of those areas are definitely, you know, you really can't go wrong with what it is. It's really just kind of finding your niche, finding your neighborhood, and just kind of, you know, making it yours, you know, what we call like a farming area, right? And just kind of farm that area. And we have agents, you know, in all those markets that'll be glad to help anybody to really break that down and see which area would be best for them.
That's fascinating. I pay attention to Arizona, and I didn't know some of that, of all these industries moving in from manufacturing and technology and Hollywood. Did not know that. That's incredible. And I think, you know, for everyone listening, and if you've listened to the Rent Estate podcast or our Corner to Corner series at all, we talk a lot about inbound migration, population growth, employment trends, and all that kind of stuff. And that's a really big key factor in understanding, is this going to be a good investment over the long term? Sure. Increasing population is very, very helpful. It's much better, obviously, than a decreasing or declining population. And Phoenix has been increasing for a while, and those trends are only accelerating, which makes it an obvious place to be looking for a long-term real estate investment. I was looking personally for some properties recently in some different areas, and saw some good deals, I thought, on, you know, a couple of multifamily homes. And as you start diving in and looking at the data of those particular cities or markets, they're, you know, population growth might be stable. The particular properties I was looking at were around a university, but this university was declining in student enrollment and getting smaller, which could pose some challenges over the long term, right? And so that was a bit of a red flag for me and caused me to dive in a little bit deeper, which makes me think about, you know, something we haven't talked about yet in the Phoenix area is in Tempe, Arizona State University is there. And I'm a proud Arizona State graduate here, but, you know, it was so much smaller when I was at that school 20 plus years ago. And I'm not certain of the fact, but it's something like, is it one of the top four public universities now for enrollment or something like that? It's huge.
I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know for sure, but I would guess, you know, it's the campus, you know, is expanding, right? You know, we have satellite campuses all over the valley now, of course. And I have no doubt that it's definitely one of the top universities in the U.S. And you bring up a good point, you know, as far as the Tempe area. As an investor, I probably would stay out of that area, just to be honest with you. And the reason is because you have a lot of investors in there who kind of specialize with college kids, you know, and so forth. And so unless that's your forte and that's what you're, you know, and that's what you're familiar with, I would probably stay out of the Tempe area. There's a little bit more regulations, given the fact that the campus and the college is there. You know, the prices are definitely overinflated, you know, a bit for the fact because they know there's such high demand. And then, of course, you're going to deal with a lot of college kids, a lot of roommates type situations. Actually, we spoke to an investor not too long ago who, that's his niche. You know, he deals with so he's renting it by the room, right? He's doing So he's just doing the room rentals and, you know, you're sharing the common areas and so forth. But he's going in, he's buying these single family homes. And we had some conversation to see if there was some synergy there, you know, with us. But unless that's just your niche and your forte, I would probably be one of the areas I would stay out of as, just, you know, as far as, you know, a regular single family investor.
Sure. Yeah, it's prices in Tempe because of ASU being there, it seems like have just gone crazy.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating how much growth there is across the Phoenix Metro from all these new employers coming in.
Yeah.
And it's creating a more stable housing environment, house price environment than certainly 15 years ago. And we saw, you know, the kind of the big booms and busts that Arizona is really known for. But with the increasing population, great jobs, high paying jobs coming into the city, and then, you know, a growing university is it's just incredible what's been happening in Phoenix. And that's a great sign. Again, I don't think we can harp on that too much, that that's a great indication for investors coming in for long term investing, a growing population center with great job opportunities for folks and great opportunities for their families, good schools. It just makes for a great place. So, you know, real quick before we end, let's talk about what makes, you know, Tucson maybe different from Phoenix. Probably a lot of reasons, because I don't think we have some of the same, you know, job growth and opportunities there. But you oversee and manage a lot of property in Tucson,
yep.
Work with investors there. You know, what makes Tucson unique or different from Phoenix, of course, but also, you know, a place where people might consider investing in real estate?
Sure. Tucson is definitely a different market. It's a smaller market, obviously, you know, but we're looking at about 1 million+ people, you know, in the Tucson Metro. The difference there is that it's the majority of the employment is either, you know, we have a huge Air Force base there or DOD contractors, and then you have your Border Patrol. Also, you have the University of Arizona, but those are probably like, you know, your four or five major employers, you know, for Tucson, which in its own unique way provides a stability because none of those things are going anywhere, right? So it's not fly-by-night companies or anything else. We're talking about, you know, solidified long-term employment, you know, for that region. And so even though the growth is nowhere near as much as Phoenix is, we have a lot of investors who are now starting to migrate down there, if you will, and diversify their portfolio just for the fact that you're going to get a little bit more bang for your buck. Home prices are a little bit cheaper on average, and rents are, you know, of course, that correlates. They're going to be lower, but the returns are going to be a little bit better than you would see here in the Phoenix area. So, for those investors who may be starting off and just kind of getting their feet wet, Tucson would definitely be a very stable and maybe an easier way to kind of get your feet into the water there and see how that goes for you versus maybe something that's, you know, here in Phoenix. And that might be the price point might be a little bit more than what some new investors might be able to afford or maybe want to chew on. So.
Sure. Yeah, both great markets and I think great opportunity. For investors of all sizes, whether you're just getting started or you're trying to grow and add to your portfolio, definitely a place to look at. So if an investor hears this and is thinking, geez, I should really learn more about this, you know, what's your process and your team's process for walking, you know, a potential client through, you know, building their plan, understanding their needs, and ultimately executing on purchasing a home?
Sure. So, you know, first step is, you know, we always want to make sure that we pair, you know, the investor up with the agent that's working the area they want to be in. And so maybe you don't know, you know, maybe the agent, you know, the investor doesn't know what area they want to be in and work. So myself, you know, I have a conversation with them, kind of, you know, we'll go through the whole list of what they're looking for and you know, where they want to be and what kind of returns and so forth and what their long-term goals are, right? And once we kind of narrow it down, then definitely we'll pair them up with the agent that is working the area they would like to focus on. And then from there, it's just a matter of just hitting the ground running, you know, and find those opportunities. You know, we have a lot of investors who are just kind of in that season where they want to, they're ready to offload some properties out of their portfolio. And so whether it's matching them up with some, with the property that has a tenant in place, or going for the new builds that we talked about, you know, earlier in the conversation. And we'll just kind of mix and match and see what will be the best route for them and their goals, their long-term goals with their investment.
Great. Well, you've got a great team there, and ready to help. Great experience, a whole bunch of agents who have been with us a long time who are ready to advise, you know, new customers that are coming in, and Arizona is a great market. So we appreciate your time. Nathan, yeah. If anyone listening wants to get a hold of Renters Warehouse and specifically Nathan, just check us out at renterswarehouse.com. Put an inquiry there. You can find the office contact information on our website as well. And we appreciate you tuning in, as always, to the Rent Estate Podcast in this special edition, Corner to Corner, where we're talking about individual markets across the country, what makes them good opportunities. For investors to expand and grow your portfolio. If you're liking what you're hearing on the podcast, we would love you to give us a rating, review, like it, subscribe, share with your friends, and give us any feedback or things you're interested in hearing about in the future on the podcast. We appreciate the support. So Nathan, thanks again for jumping on with me and talking about Phoenix and Tucson and everything you guys do in there, Arizona. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, Kevin, I appreciate you having me here and look forward to our next chat.
All right. Thanks, Nathan.
You've been listening to the Rent Estate Podcast with your host, Kevin Ortner. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to rentestate.com for a free rental property analysis and learn how you can list, invest, and rent all under one roof.